Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. We would like to welcome the Scouts and their families who are here with us today. And on behalf of Main Street, I want to tell you Happy Valentine's Day. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation that you will find at the top of your bulletin. There are a lot of announcements that I want to call your attention to in the bulletin, but the first one that is most pressing, that is not in the bulletin, is the beginnings of our Prayer Warrior ministry for the new year. You can find Patricia Lindell in the fellowship hall immediately after the worship service and collect your letter of intent. Whether you intend to be a part of the Prayer Warrior ministry for the church. That, you know, is the connection that we begin even with our newborns all the way to 22 years of age when we keep them in our prayers. And you are assigned a particular prayer partner, prayer warrior. So if you intend to participate in the program, please come by the fellowship hall and get your letter from Patricia Lindell. That just saves us some postage, and every little bit helps. The second thing I'd like to call to your attention is the announcement in the bulletin for the United Methodist Men's Dinner and Program. I was told before I came in that they will be serving steak. So I want to put that plug in for the men. Some have already heard Billy Tunstall's and were very moved. I highly recommend that you make an effort to get to the men's club meeting on Tuesday. I would also like to call to your attention that this week begins the Ash Wednesday services. And Main Street is the first to have the luncheon series. So the Lenten luncheons begin at Main Street, and there will be soup and sandwich served at 12 and at 1, and a worship service in between the two. Also, I want to call to your attention that our Ash Wednesday service will be Wednesday night. And our men's softball team will be using the dinner as a fundraiser. And the menu is included in the bulletin. So do pay attention to that and make an effort to come participate in our Lenten worship service. Also at that Lenten worship service, the Lenten luncheon on Wednesday, before and after the luncheon, there will be heel screenings for osteoporosis. Our congregational nurse, Lee Roberts, is in charge of that. So do make an effort to get here a little early or stay a little later so that you can have that screening, participate in the screening. Finally, I would like to call to your attention the insert in the bulletin dealing with Golden Cross Sunday. There will be a litany that is also included in your bulletin, but take a few minutes to read it and be able to participate. Now, let us continue our worship service as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. We have come together, a community of faith. We have gathered to talk and listen to God. May our faces shine in anticipation. Our God has invited us to this moment of meeting. We share in a new covenant of promise and hope. Our spirits have been set free for worship and praise. We come with boldness to encounter our Creator. We assemble here, a gear changed by God. Our fears melt into awe and wonder before God. Our failures become opportunities for learning. Let us praise in God's holy name. And let us share in God's. What a gift.
Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in our invocation. Holy are you, O God of all time and space. Before the vastness of your creation, the earth is as nothing. Yet you have lavished your energies upon it, shaping interdependent systems within systems. The mysterious gift of life is ours to handle with care. You have revealed yourself to us. You have created us for justice and equity. You have drawn us to the mountaintop to commune with you. O God, we are here waiting your further revelation. Come to enlighten and empower. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the book Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. You can find this on page 101 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. In this passage, Moses returns from Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant. His face shines in a way that frightens the people, so he begins to wear a veil when he instructs the people, but takes it off when offering worship to the tabernacle. Listen now for God's word to us. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God. When Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face, but whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went to speak with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, beginning in chapter 3, verse 12, and continuing to verse 2 in chapter 4. You can find this on page 219 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Here Paul refers to the veil that we heard about in the first reading. To illustrate the church's ongoing access to the glory of God in the face of Jesus, listen again to God's word for us. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses's, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at his face. The end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened, indeed, to this very day when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant. The same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing freedom. Seeing the glory of God. As though reflected in a mirror. Are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Join with me, please, as we recite the Golden Cross litany that's found in an insert in your bulletin. O God, you sent your Son to be a physician, healing broken bodies and diseased minds. Bless those who are afflicted with sickness, pain, and disability. Lord, in your mercy. Surround with your love those who lack the full sense of their limbs and minds. Lord, in your mercy. Bless those who stand and watch while dear ones suffer. Bless those who care for these persons, the pastors, counselors, doctors, nurses, and others, who minister to those unable to care fully for themselves. Lord, in your mercy. And bless us as we provide hospitals, homes, and services for all these who need your help. Make us instruments of your healing power. Lord, in your mercy. Amen.
As we come to our time of prayer, several names and concerns I want to lift up. Peggy Ackerman is still recovering down in Charleston from some serious back surgery. Joanne Holy lost a sister-in-law this past week. Betty Stockman still recovering from surgery. Mary Metger recovering from a fall and a broken collarbone. Jay Pendergrass has ongoing treatments and needs our prayers. Dot Turnley recovering at home. And I believe those are all the concerns I have this morning. Oh, and Bob Bennett is not well today, too, and asked for our prayers. Let us lift our prayers up together to God. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come as your children, as agents of your coming kingdom. Give us your Spirit today. Give us direction today. And give us your promised comfort. Give us, we pray, love and forgiveness enough to share. We thank you for the high and holy honor of continuing what your Son, Jesus Christ, began in his ministry, the eternal hope that is within it, the compassion and the care for one another. Our world is so loud and so fast, we seldom hear your still small voice calling out. And yet we have come today expecting to meet you and to be encouraged and filled and directed. Where we have doubts, give us faith. Where we have fears, give us courage and trust. And where we have smugness and judgment, give us humility. And where we are possessed by our possessions, give us open, generous hearts and hands. Now, Lord, we pray also that you influence by your Spirit the leaders of the nations of this world, that they be open to your influence and for the things that make for peace. We pray for our youth and for our children. So many are so cynical, so young. Open their eyes to truths deeper than despair and more lasting than the fashion of the moment. And we pray for those who are in their middle years raising children and families with all the uncertainties today. We pray that you guide them and give them your peace as well. For our older members, cover their regrets with your grace and grant them peace and joy. Father, for this church and its outreach ministry, and for these who are part of our scouting ministry, and for those who will be recipients of the Golden Cross collection, we do pray. We pray your mercy, and we pray to be agents of your mercy in the ways that we can. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray now, as your Son Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Morning, guys. How are y'all? You've had a big weekend. You got to play in snow. How many built a snowman?
Yeah.
A couple. You tried too. And then today is what, Valentine's Day?
Yes.
You gave a Valentine to somebody? At least one? Good. And it's also the Olympics started this weekend. So all these athletes from around the world that have been training for years and years and years are now getting to try to win that gold medal. Did you get to watch any of that? I like to watch the ones that's sliding down the big slide into the snow. Have you looked around the sanctuary this morning? Have you seen anything unusual besides the bells? All these guys in uniforms? Yeah. Today is Scout Sunday. You are a scout? Well, good. Today's the day that we honor all the scouts, which includes the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts and the Brownie Scouts. But I want to spend just a few minutes this morning talking about the Boy Scouts. This is my son, Grant. My name is Harold. Grant's been in the Boy Scouts for a while. Matter of fact, next Friday will be his last day, because when you get to be 18, you can't be a Boy Scout anymore, right? It's always in your heart, but you're really not a Boy Scout. Then you get to be a leader if you want to. The troop that's here today that I want to talk about is our troop, the church sponsors, which is Troop 911. This is the 100th anniversary of the Boy Scouts of America. It's 100 years old. Reverend Dennis is not quite that old yet, but you kind of get the idea, right? 100 years old. And through that time, it served the youth of our country really, really well. Now, Scouts, whether it's Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, is all about learning things. You learn how to be a good citizen. You learn how to what good character is. You learn how to tie knots. And you get to do some fun things that you might want to do that everybody else doesn't want to do. And you do those under a thing called merit badges. So you might earn a merit badge on animals, or a merit badge about space, or a merit badge about fire safety, something that interests you. And as you go through Scouts and you start to earn those merit badges, you'll see a lot of the guys today, they have their merit badge sashes on with all of these little badges on them. So every time you do something particular that meets the requirements, you get a merit badge. Now, Scouts is a little bit like school, because everything is graded. What that means is like you go from kindergarten to first grade to second grade. In Scouts, you start off as a tenderfoot, and then you go to second class, and you go to first class, and you keep going and going and going until you get to the 12th grade. The 12th grade equivalent in Scouts is called the Eagle Rank. The Eagle rank is a very special rank. It means that you've been in Scouts a while, that you've met a lot of requirements, and it's so special that only 2 Scouts out of every 100 that start get to be Eagle. But I bet if we ask our church today, all the Eagle Scouts to stand up, I bet we get more than 2. All the Eagle Scouts. Come on, Mr. Kelly, Mr. Stockman. There we go. Good job. Thanks, guys. getting the Eagle Award is kind of like winning the gold medal in Olympics. It means you're pretty special, and you get to wear a special badge. And the badge on Grant's left pocket over there is the Eagle badge ring. And it takes a lot of work to get to be Eagle. It takes a lot of work on the part of the scout, but it takes a lot of work also on the part of all the leaders and the parents. And I want to ask Mr. Chip Stockman to stand up. You guys know Chip? Chip's been around our church a while, right? Well, Chip has been leading the scouts in our church for, he won't tell me exactly how many years, but in the course of the 15 to 20 years or so he's been leading it, we in our troop, stand up, Chip, we have had 48 Eagle Scouts. That's quite an accomplishment. And rumor has it that the 50th Eagle Scout from our troop is going to have the last name of Stockman. Thanks, Jeff, and we appreciate your leadership. The scouts learn a lot of things, but one of the things that they try to do is to live by rules, and we call those the Scout Law. And the Scout Law is nothing more than ways that we need to conduct ourselves. And I'm going to ask Troop 911 to stand up, and I'm going to ask Grant to go over there close to them and lead them in saying the Scout Law for you. Now listen carefully. There are 12 of them. And if they'll speak up so that you can hear, I bet you can at least pick out one or two of the Scout Laws. Let's listen. All right. Thank you. Did you pick up on them? Can you name one?
Friendly.
Kind. Did you get the last one?
Be good.
Yep. And the last one was reverent. Okay. So I think the lesson here is that if we follow the Scout Law, and we practice all those things that the scouts talk about, I think Jesus will be very proud of us all. Okay? Now, join me in a prayer, quick prayer right quick. Jesus, thank you for the scouts, thank you for the leadership, and thank you for being able to participate in such a good organization. We pray that you will be with us through the coming week and help us to practice those things that you would have us practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.
Now let us pass the peace, greet one another, greet your Valentine if you haven't done that yet today. And if you haven't bought a gift yet, I think an excellent Valentine's gift would be a donation to the building fund. Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up unto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I get into my sermon, wasn't that a wonderful snow we had? So polite, it came and it went. I thought that was the best way to have snow I've ever seen. I want to begin with a story that Bishop Arthur Moore of Georgia used to love to tell. It seems a man had been away from his home church for many years, and while he was gone, he was involved in all sorts of shady and criminal activities. But when he came back to his church, and it was testimony time, he was ready. He stood up and he said, "I am so glad to be back here in my home church, and I want to tell you that while it is true that I have beaten my wife, I have deserted my children, I have stolen and lied and done all sorts of evil things and spent several terms in jail, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that not once in all that time did I ever lose my religion." Now, if your religion is nothing more than an insurance policy that you plan to whip out when you die, if your religion makes no difference in your day-to-day life, if your religion has little to do with Jesus, the same Jesus who we see on the mountaintop today, glowing with the glory of God, and about whom we hear the very voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen, listen to Him." If your religion doesn't listen to Him, then I have to wonder what your religion is. Christian faith is not just for the day you die. It is very specifically for each day we live. And our aim is to live a little closer and a little closer each day with the God who has made Himself known to us in Jesus Christ. The reading from 2 Corinthians today says that so beautifully. It says, "With unveiled faces we see the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, and we are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord the Spirit." We are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. We're being changed each and every day. Our aim is to live a little closer to the image and to the life that Jesus has shown us. In preparation for life, we are to listen to Him. In preparation for death as well, but in preparation for marriage, listen to Him. In preparation for business dealings, which sometimes gets left out, listen to Him. In preparation for dealing with your friends and your family and your enemies and your money, listen to Him. Jesus is not a lucky charm, a magic name, an ace in the hole when you're down on your luck. And neither is Jesus, as some people make Him, demote Him, a wise teacher, a wise man among many other wise men and women that you might choose from. No. Jesus is unique. The one and only one who has kept the law, as represented in today's reading by Moses, the one and only one who transcends the prophets, represented by Elijah, the great prophet. Moses, you will remember, and you heard in the early Old Testament reading, he glowed just a little bit when he came down from Mount Sinai. He glowed because he had been in the very presence of God. The glory, the glow of God, the holiness of God stayed with him for a few days, and so Moses was forced to wear a veil over his face to keep from scaring the people at the foot of the mountain. The glory, the glow of God, has a Hebrew name, the Shekinah. And it at times in the Old Testament is said to have filled the temple and was seen in the burning bush which was not consumed, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel through the wilderness at night. The manifestations of light and glory and holiness reveal to us God's presence. God's presence. And with that history in mind, what do you suppose it means that Jesus glowed a dazzling white light? Luke records that His face changed. And Matthew says how it changed, that His face shone brighter than the sun. If God's holiness and glory is represented by light, and Jesus appeared thus, what do you suppose that means? I think you know. We are meant to understand that Jesus is all of the divine presence of God that we can stand or comprehend. As the disciples stood on the mountain getting ready to descend into Jerusalem and to the cross, Peter, James, and John got a preview of just what God was doing. God in Christ was preparing to make peace between creation and Creator by taking upon Himself the sins of the whole world. Jesus, the one perfect man in holiness, perfect in keeping the law and the teachings of the prophets, was there on the mountain with His holy face set toward Jerusalem in death. Why? Out of love for you and me. When we think about the law, I don't want you to get all Leviticus and Deuteronomy tied up in it. Just really the Ten Commandments are the basics of the law. But when we think about the Ten Commandments, that's very simple. And we divide into love God and love neighbor, those Ten Commandments. But as simple as they seem, as simple as they sound, we can't seem to do either very consistently. And the law does another thing as we look at loving God and loving neighbor and find ourselves falling short. It convicts us as sinners more than it ever leads our daily lives as a game plan. And the prophets who spoke truth to power and greed and idolatry and injustice and hypocrisy and tried to, the prophets grabbed back Israel when they wandered off after other gods. The prophets also speak against us in the ways that we use power and go after smaller gods and idols. Jesus was solitary and singular in His service to the will of God. In this sense, Jesus was the only true human. Now I know that sounds like a bold and huge statement, and it is. But in this sense, Jesus was the only true human in the way God desires for humans to be in His creation. And in this sense, Jesus was also the one true Jew who lived as a light unto the nations, the calling of the nation Israel, showing God wishes, how God wishes us to live. Jesus was also the promised Savior, who indeed provides for a way for us to live in a relationship with God beyond the death of these bodies. But that is not all that Jesus is. Jesus is also the life bearer, the God who creates and creates again, giving new life through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. We, when we come into faith in Jesus Christ, come into a relationship with God. A relationship which begins a process of new creation. We were created in the image of God, but that image is distorted by sin and selfishness and will to power. Jesus is the cure. And the Holy Spirit is God's power to change us and make us new. And so, when our friend in that opening illustration shared his litany of sin and claimed to never have lost his religion, I have to wonder what he meant. What does new creation mean if we stay the same forever? And what does God's kingdom, where does God's kingdom come, and where is God's will done if not through God's people? Jesus, on the mountaintop, glowed with the Shekinah, the glory of the holiness of God. Jesus spoke of God doing a new and grander thing than God has ever done before. He is the foundation upon which God helps us build new lives, and indeed through which God is building a new kingdom filled with people who are being made new through God's continuing creative presence. Remember those words from the very familiar 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus was saying goodbye to His disciples, and He said, at that point in time, He said, the Holy Spirit is with you, and the Holy Spirit will be in you. The words of the law cannot change us. Knowing those words merely convicts us that we cannot keep the law. The words of the prophets cannot change us. They merely make us sensitive to the abuse of power and greed and injustice. But we know in our real life we sometimes profit from the abuse of power and connections and greed and injustice. No, neither the words of the law nor the words of the prophets can save us, but the Word of God become flesh and dwelling among us. That will do. Nothing less will do. And back to chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. I'm going to stay in John for just a moment here. It says, and we have beheld His glory. Well, let me go back to the very first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. God became flesh And we beheld His glory, His holiness, His Shekinah, His divine presence among us. I hope you see, as Moses was briefly in the presence of God, and he glowed on his face so as others could see it, so we have beheld the glory of God made flesh in Jesus Christ. And others should be able to see it on our faces. By the power of Christ, be a light unto the nations. Get into the presence of Jesus and soak up His Spirit and glow forward into the world, listening to Him and building upon the foundation of His life and the freedom that He has bought for us. The freedom from fear, the freedom from hate, the freedom from guilt, the freedom from the judgment of sin, the freedom from the finality of death. And for those who are in a relationship with God, God does have the power to keep us in relationship forever. But the whole point of my preaching and the point of the good news, the gospel, is not just that we can somehow, in some way, in a new spiritual body, survive death. That is not the whole point. The point is that we are part of a new creation. We are part of what God is doing in Jesus Christ. And by the power of His Spirit, we are called to go forth into the night, the darkness of this world, as a light, God's hope, in Jesus' name. Jesus is the human face of God. When we meet Him, we, like Moses, are changed, and His glory rubs off. And maybe we need to come here each and every week, because the glory that rubs off after a time seems to wear off. Sometimes our glow gets a little dim, and so we need to come and worship again. Years ago, had a personal friend that I brought into a mission camp, into a Salkehatchee home repair mission camp. I brought him in because he was a very good carpenter, but as far as faith was, he was a very polite and quiet, self-proclaimed agnostic, which simply means, I don't know. Well, he came to the Salkehatchee camp. He didn't really believe in the theology of the New Testament or the Trinity or the Gospel or any of that. But he said this to me after a worship reflection night. He said he did believe that he saw something on the faces of some of the participants. He said that he believed he saw something that he would like to have. Not a fake, practiced smile. Now, he was way too cynical to fall for that. He said what he saw was peace in their eyes, as if they knew something he did not know. Peace in their eyes, as if they had seen something he had not seen. He said that he saw on the faces a peace that he would like to have, a peace that was real. Real beyond all question, beyond all fads or fashions or fancies. In that moment, those young people were functioning as evangelists. They were glowing out the good news that God was in Christ, making peace by the blood of His cross. They didn't say it. It's okay if you say it. But they didn't say it. They showed it. And not in the work that they were doing with hammers and nails during the day, although that was compassionate and wonderful and helpful and right. No, they showed it simply on their faces. They were reflective. Lesser lights, reflecting the peace of Christ into the darkness of the world, into a seeking soul who was there. And that is our calling, not just here, but each and every day. Too many church folk treat Scripture as something that reaches way back in the past and tells us what God used to do way back there long ago. And then we also look at it to see what God might do, and way up in the future, we hope, at the moment just beyond our death. And we expect God to be there to greet us. Way back in the past and way down in the future. What about all this in between time? Isn't God still doing things? Way back in the past, Jesus and Moses and the prophets long ago, and way in the future just beyond my death. Is that what religion is all about? Long ago and last stop heaven? No. Jesus very clearly has something for us to do. The same Jesus who said to the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." And the same Spirit that inspired Paul to say that through unveiled faces we are being transformed into the same image, the image of Christ, from one degree of glory to another, and this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. This is the message of what we are to do in the meantime, to allow God to do, to grow in us in the meantime. If all this is true, that we are sent every day into the world as Jesus was sent, and we have been given the Spirit to go and to glow, then we have much to do. We are those who build upon the one foundation of Jesus Christ. We are those who make the commandments live, loving God with our whole hearts and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, and by the power of Christ, loving and forgiving even enemies. We are those who continue the ministry of the prophets, speaking up against injustice and greed and hypocrisy and abuse of power. These actions, these ministries belong to us. Many of you know who Garrison Keillor is. He's been for decades now on NPR doing the stories from Lake Wobegon, and I do love to hear his stories. And he always begins, I think as long as I've been listening to it, he describes Lake Wobegon as a place where all of the children are above average. And it's interesting, no matter what public school system we've moved into in my 26, 7 years across the state, everybody says their schools are above average. I don't know where those below average schools are, or where those below average children are. But anyway, it's impossible that all the children in one place can be above average. But I think a lot of folks, as we get back to our faith, our religious faith, find it convenient to reduce their religious faith down to something like just the commandments, the 10 commandments that Moses brought us from God, and they feel if they get 6 out of 10, they're above average. No. And we admire the courageous prophets who long ago called out the powerful rich rulers and told them to stop oppressing the poor, and called out the people who were worshiping after idols and back to worshiping God. Prophets such as Nathan, who confronted bravely King David. We admire that sort of courage, but we don't take too kindly to any prophetic messages confronting our life. Did Jesus change what God wants? No. It's not that God doesn't want the law kept anymore. It's not that God doesn't want there to be prophetic voices anymore, challenging power and greed and oppression and lies. The message is deeper. And what many folks call religion is not very deep at all. The message of the gospel and of the transfiguration is that Jesus was God come to us in flesh. And in Jesus, the very spirit of the law was kept for the very first time. And He too, by preaching supreme love of God and love of neighbor as you love yourself, was against the hypocrisy and the greed and the dehumanizing violence and oppression which the prophets opposed. Jesus' food and meat and His heart's desire was to serve God and be the true Israelite, the true human being as God intended, the one and perfect example of the new creation that God desires for us all to be. And He has more than just an example. He was the way and the truth and the life, the path, the door, the escape hatch, if you will, in the wall that sin and death built between us and God and between us and each other. Yes, we have work to do. The foundational work is done, was done once and for all by God in Christ. But upon that foundation, and by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we are called to go and to glow forward as a light in the darkness of this world. And if you pay attention at all, you know the world is a very dark place. Law and prophets are fulfilled in Jesus. The new creation is being fulfilled in us. God has things for us to do and has given us the power to do them. Go and glow in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.
I love to face.
By way of a benediction, I'm going to read the fourth verse of Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, a Charles Wesley hymn about God changing us from glory into glory. And he says, and you'll be blessed by these words, God, finish then thy new creation. Pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen.